of home were burning brightly when I left so long ago.
You're listening to Can't Do Nothing With Love, an award-winning short story collection written and read by Ellen Morris Pruitt. Today's episode features The Gift of the Elephant. Sarah wanted to give the city of Canton, Mississippi, an elephant. "I am a stranger," he said, "and they have been nice to me. That means a lot." In Canton, the man at the pharmacy helped Sarah pick out his medications, a personal nasty business in any country. In the summertime, at their thin and sparse farmer's market, their potatoes ragged and tomatoes worm-eaten, they gave him an extra ear of hard corn. "For your supper," they said, even though they knew nothing of Sarah's small square table, the plastic bowl that came with his rented kitchen, his one too large spoon. When the button popped from Sarah's wintertime pants, the seamstress at the dry cleaners did what Sarah had no woman of his own to do. She took the black button from Sarah's palm, dry and shiny where it wasn't creased, and sewed the button onto the pants. Those who helped him, the people of Canton, were longtime residents, the owners of the Mississippi town. Their grandfathers and great-grandfathers lay buried in the cemeteries tucked into the woods, surrounded by stones stacked no higher than a dog's ankle. To them, Sarah was a foreign people, his small head and short frame, disguised in khaki pants and tweed riding cap, and a zipper jacket now that it was cold. When he bowed and asked, his hand outstretched, they were proud to help him, pointing, demonstrating, making sure he was listening, attentive to their telling. No other Indian, an Indian from India, they'd say, lived in Canton, at least not the Canton where Sarah traveled, the city of the downtown square and homes with porches full of rot, and the high school with its taped goalposts. Maybe one of his countrymen could be found in the new Canton of the McDonald's and gas stations growing up around the Nissan plant on the edge of town. In that Canton, white men rolled their sleeves and carried clipboards, making Japanese cars. Sarah's Canton was black. The black man who ran the pharmacy, young black girls with plastic beads around their ponytails who ran in and out of the stalls at the farmer's market, the black seamstress who wore flip-flops even in the wintertime. In Sarah's Canton, the mayor drove a Lincoln. It was to this mayor Sarah took the offer of the elephant. Up the steps of the white-columned, red-bricked courthouse, down the dark hallway, into the clerk's office, where the clerk pointed to the mayor's secretary, sitting in her own cubbyhole. When Sarah, riding cap in hand, told the secretary about his desires, his eyes remained fixed on the secretary's face. Skin so polished you wanted to reach and touch it, ears curved like delicate seashells, the mayor's secretary was a woman of beauty. When Sarah finished talking, the secretary bent her slim neck and drew a flat book from the desk drawer. She wrote his name in the book with a pencil. 1 o'clock next Thursday, she said, after the mayor gets back from lunch with his wife. She handed Sarah a card. Mayor Ernest J. Clarkson, the card announced in gold letters. Sarah fingered the gold. He would present the card to the mayor after the mayor finished lunch with his wife, when Sarah returned on Thursday. On that day, when Sarah arrived, the mayor was standing in the doorway of his office, leaning against the door jamb, waiting for Sarah, even though Sarah was early. "Do I interfere?" Sarah asked, "with the lunch with the mayor's wife?" "Nah," the mayor said. "She had to meet with a parent over at Jefferson. She's the principal," he added, and led Sarah into his office. Inside the office, plaques covered the walls, ebony plaques with scripted lettering cut into the glossy surfaces. Behind the mayor's desk, a window opened onto the courthouse lawn. There, the bare arms of a giant weeping willow swayed in the wind. The mayor creaked into his wooden chair, swiveled the seat so he could squint his eyes at the open window. "So, you want to give us an elephant?" Sarah, still standing with his jacket on, explained about the loss of his wife, his decision to emigrate, his otherness, even at the public university, the kindness of the mayor's town. "The elephant would be a symbol for your town," he said, "and good for tourists. Parents would bring their children to ride on the elephant's back. It would be my gift." The mayor turned toward Sarah, pointing him into a chair. Then he raised his voice. Manera, Mr. Sarah wants to give us an elephant. The secretary looked up, stared above the space where Sarah sat, and went back to work. How big is an elephant? The mayor asked, tapping a pencil against the edge of his desk. The mayor was beautiful, too, with long eyelashes and black, black skin. The cloth of his suit was silvery gray. His tie glowed electric blue against his white shirt. Sir, this elephant would be a big elephant, big and strong for the children to ride. Sarah nodded to the mayor. The fathers, too, if they wanted. A big elephant. A gift? Wouldn't cost us anything. My gift to your city. The elephant got a name? To be named by the mayor. At this frivolity, the secretary cleared her throat. But Sarah pointed a finger at the mayor and cranked his thumb up and down, like the boys at the car wash did when Sarah's car was ready for pickup. The mayor pushed from his chair and stood. On the inside of his chair, propped for his lower back, was a saggy pillow. A mayor has many troubles, Sarah observed. Maybe an elephant can help. The mayor extended his hand for Sarah to shake, meaning goodbye or it's a deal. Sarah didn't know, but he took it for a good sign. When the mayor added, I'm sure I can get my city council to agree, and winked, Sarah could see the arrival of the elephant, banners waving, hammers prying the slats from the crate, the elephant stepping into its new world. The city council meeting was Tuesday night again at the courthouse, but the room was much larger, and the chairs of the city council men and women were not wooden, like the mayor's chair. The city council chairs were tubular steel, with soft blue cloth on the seats. Whenever a member of the audience rose to address the council, the men and women rocked up and down in their chairs. At the council room door, a young man handed Sarah an agenda and told him to sit in one of the folding chairs lining the wall. Sarah removed his jacket against the heat of the room and scanned the agenda. He found the mayor's report about a third of the way down. He closed his eyes and sent good thoughts about the elephant. Someone shook Sarah by the shoulder as if to wake him up. It was the mayor, talking on a cell phone. He nodded at Sarah but said nothing except to the phone, I love you too, then took his seat at a special chair in front of the room. As the mayor sat, he snapped the phone shut, and in the snap, Sarah heard the Mrs. Mayor, the principal, calling to send her husband love. When it came time, Madam Chairman said, Mayor's report. Madam Chairman had an elastic bandage wrapped around her wrist, the flesh-colored wrappings cut deep into her brown skin. Her nails, mauve, glistened in the fluorescent light. When the mayor began to speak of the elephant, he pointed to Sarah, who nodded to the assembled councilmen and women. My city council, the mayor had called them back in his office, but Madam Chairman had a funny look on her face while she listened to the mayor's speech, and she kept glancing at the other council members. Finally, in the middle of the mayor's explanation, she said, An elephant? Yes'm, an elephant. A real elephant? This came from a councilman who was big as a house, leaning back in his chair. The councilman had never removed his baseball hat. Sarah's riding cap lay folded in his lap. No, Marcus, a little stuffed elephant with a baby bottle in its mouth. Several members of the audience twittered at the mayor's joke, but Sarah did not like the turn of events. It was for the mayor to present the proposal and get the approval, not for all these questions. Sarah fidgeted in his seat. The movement caught the eye of Madam Chairman, who peered around the fat man and asked directly to Sarah, An elephant from where? Sarah rose, bowed, India, madam, and sat back down. You got the elephant picked out? No, ma'am. How are you going to pick out the elephant? I have contacts, ma'am. Elephant contacts? Yes, ma'am, Sarah said, wishing for the assistance of the mayor. Won't you have to have a license or something to get an elephant over here? A councilwoman in a bright yellow suit spoke for the first time. She opened her mouth but said no more. Instead, her tongue, pink and pointed, licked one corner of her mouth, then the other. Sarah edged down the row of chairs so he could speak at the foot of the council table. I am prepared to pay whatever licenses are required to enter the elephant into this country. It will be my gift to Canton, in return for your kindness to me, a stranger. This speech did not calm the council members, who stared at Sarah, waiting for more. The mayor curled his agenda in his hands. The elephant would be for economic development, he said. Tourist dollars. Hey, bro, the big man named Marcus cocked his head at the mayor. What's an elephant got to do with Canton? The black man and his elephant? This time the audience laughed at the big man's joke. Aren't you listening? The elephant is a symbol of our hospitality. The mayor shook his head, acting like the fat man was an imbecile. In India, this would not be a good sign, and Sirrah did not think it was much different in Mississippi. When the fat man said, "Hospitality, shee!" Sirrah spoke up. In India, Sirrah offered his quiet voice to the room, the elephant would be ridden on important occasions by important persons. At other times it would be made available to the little children or anyone else who wanted to ride. It would make money for your town. Well, how much does it cost to feed an elephant? How much hay? And where does it sleep? The councilwoman in the yellow suit propped her elbows on the table, her palms spread wide, questioning. Madam Chairman didn't seem to like the woman being so forward. She rapped the council table with her gavel. I'm forming a committee. The mayor raised his hand, then stopped. A committee, continued Madam Chairman, of Marcus and Calvin. At his name, an elderly councilman who'd been snoozing with his chin on his chest woke up. What? He asked. You on the elephant committee, the councilwoman in the yellow suit said to Calvin. You and Marcus. Elephant, the old man said and blinked his eyes. In the blink, Sirrah saw the elephant's crate waiting, unopened, on the loading dock, the elephant rocking inside, consoling its unclaimed loneliness. The members of the elephant committee did not want Sirrah to attend their meetings because the discussions were only preliminary. Instead, the committee members wrote out a series of questions and delivered them to the mayor to deliver to Sirrah for answering. The list read, how much does an elephant weigh? How much does an elephant eat? Do they eat regular hay, like horses? Any special vitamins? Then came a couple of lines scratched out so heavily Sirrah couldn't read them. At the last question, Sirrah paused. How much would an elephant sell for in this country? In his rented kitchen, Sirrah stirred his spoon in his cup of tea. To give a gift was to let it out of one's hands. The elephant he cared for so much. The town he cared for so much. What if they did not care for one another? He settled the spoon in the saucer, sipped the sweet tea. If his wife were still alive, she would draw down the sides of her mouth, lay her fingers on his arm, and give him the simple, obvious answer. But the touch of her fingers were no more. Sirrah was on his own, with his one spoon, one cup, one plastic bowl. The answers to the committee's questions Sirrah could get easily enough from the internet at the public university in Jackson, 10 miles away, where Sirrah taught. But negotiations over the elephant. He hadn't counted on negotiations. And who to turn to? He hadn't told his colleagues of his offer. If they knew, they would take offense. Sirrah has been so unloved, he feels he must offer his little town an elephant for merely sewing buttons on his pants. Sirrah washed and stacked his cup in the drain rack, then lay on the cot he used as a bed. Underneath his pillow he kept his wife's handkerchief, lavender, shot through with silver thread and trimmed in pink lace. The scent was gone from the cloth, but when Sirrah rubbed the lace between forefinger and thumb, he remembered the swish of his wife's sari, the clinking of her tongue when a recalcitrant patient would not take his medicine, the clanging that rang from the kitchen when she cooked. But the infection, the illness, death had silenced all of that. Sirrah stretched in his bed. Tomorrow, before he went any further with the elephant committee's questions, he would go to see the mayor. He would ask the man with all the plaques on his wall what to do about the gift to the elephant. Sirrah slipped the handkerchief from the pillow, rubbed the pink lace. But when he did, he heard not the sounds of his wife, but the ahem of the mayor's beautiful secretary, her lovely throat reproving Sirrah for joking about the naming of the elephant. Sirrah curled onto his side, considering the elephant, considering life in Mississippi. If he'd have known you were coming, he'd have been here. He wants that elephant. The mayor's secretary was not chiding Sirrah for showing up without an appointment. She was encouraging him to wait until the mayor returned from lunch. So Sirrah looked around to take a seat. The secretary's cubbyhole had only one chair. Sitting in the chair was a pink bear Sirrah had to move, then hold, while he faced the secretary working at her desk. Much clutter covered the desk, including a radio playing soft music. Taped across the front of the desk were heart-shaped cards in honor of the love holiday. At the pharmacy, when Sirrah had picked up his medicine, that asked him for a dollar for heart research, also in honor of the love holiday. When I was growing up in my country, he said, we did not have this love holiday. The secretary looked up, what love holiday? Then she spied the bear Sarah was holding and said, oh, Valentine's. She shrugged, kind of hokey. She reached into the clutter on the desk, held up a plate. Want a cookie? She asked. Sarah stood, bear in hand, and gazed over the plate, heart-shaped cookies sprinkled with red. He took the top cookie. When he bit into it, he tasted rich butter, felt the crunch of sprinkles between his teeth. The secretary took a cookie for herself. You know what I'd do? She asked, pointing the cookie at Sarah. About the elephant? Sarah shook his head. I'd give it to Jefferson, the high school. They're the warriors. They could be the elephant warriors. Ride the elephant onto the field at halftime. Her teeth, tiny, like pointed pearls, bit into the cookie. That pitiful team could use some help. Sarah studied the secretary's liquid eyes. The high school where the Mrs. Mayor works. Amelia, she's the principal. With little children. Not little, but children. They would want an elephant. The Hardy Mustangs have a horse. Sarah, standing at the foot of the secretary's desk, looked down at the pink bear in his hand, then wagged the bear at the secretary. What does the bear say? You asking that bear, he always says yes. A smile spread across Sarah's face, relaxing his eyes, warming them. When it did, the secretary asked, thoughtful, you're not much past 40, are you? The mayor and his wife walked into the cubbyhole. The secretary looked from Sarah to the Mrs. Mayor. Ask her, the secretary encouraged. Sarah sobered up. So sudden to speak to the mayor's wife, a professional woman, too, with piled high hair and glossy red lips. In her hand she held a fancy leather briefcase while Sarah carried a pink bear. But she was smiling at him. Sarah held the bear against his hip, asked his question. I have an offer for the Warrior High School. Would they like my elephant? To use for the high school, to never sell for profit, to ride out on the field at halftime. The Mrs. Mayor glanced at her husband. You should have said something, Ernest. First I heard of it, he responded. The Mrs. Mayor laid her briefcase on the secretary's desk and turned to Sarah, who, having settled the bear into his chair, now stood ramrod before the Mrs. Mayor. Mr. Sarah, your offer. The elephant. Well, my kids, that's all they've been talking about. The Mrs. Mayor stared not at Sarah, but at something beyond him, as if she could see past the walls of the cubbyhole, across the ragged football field, and into the hearts and minds of her students. They wouldn't believe it if I told them the elephant was ours. She made a temple with her fingers, drew the fingertips to her lips. Standing so close together inside the tiny cubbyhole, the mayor and the Mrs. Mayor and the secretary and Sarah waited. From the secretary's radio, a symphony rose, clattered into the room. Sarah and the secretary locked eyes. The Mrs. Mayor spoke slowly. Can you assure me there will be an elephant? Sarah glanced at the mayor. To the Mrs. Mayor, he said, do you have a city council? No city council. An elephant committee, perhaps. No elephant committee. What about the school board? The mayor was staring at his wife, his arms crossed against his chest. The Mrs. Mayor gazed at her husband. You know operational matters don't go before the board. Uniforms, field maintenance, mascots, all my bailiwick. How are you going to feed the elephant? The mayor had lifted his chin at his wife. Do you know how much an elephant eats? The Mrs. Mayor drew back from her husband, her face full of puzzlement. What's the matter, Ernest? An elephant eats 150 to 200 pounds a day, about 2 to 3 bales of hay. The beautiful secretary, Manera, read from a notepad. Elephants also like to eat sweet potatoes. Manera slid her notepad onto the desk, curved her hair behind her delicate ears, smiled at Sarah. But the mayor planted his arms on his hips, like a little boy when someone had stolen his toy. The Mrs. Mayor laid her fingers on her husband's forearm. Something for the kids to believe in, Ernest. It's worth it, for them. The Mrs. Mayor stroked the cloth of her husband's beautiful suit, seeking agreement, the way women do. Then she nodded and lifted her briefcase from the secretary's desk. Jiggling the briefcase once, twice, she turned to Manera. Check the calendar and see when the mayor and Mr. Sarah and I, at Manera's stern look, she added, and you, can get together for lunch to discuss it. To Sarah, who was busy thinking about the luncheon, no longer one spoon, one cup, but a luncheon. The Mrs. Mayor said, we want the elephant. To use for the high school, never to sail for profit, to ride onto the field at halftime. When will it be here? At the question, Mynheer smiled at Sarah, a full, open-mouthed smile, and the mayor encircled his arm around his wife's waist, and Sarah bowed. For in Mynheer's full smile, and the mayor's embrace, and the Mrs. Mayor's confident happiness, he could see the elephant, clad in warrior attire, its trunk raised in triumph, feet thundering onto the field, while a chain of children danced in its wake. To the Mrs. Mayor, to the mayor, and most particularly to the beautiful Manera, Sarah said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the gift of the elephant has already arrived." Thanks for listening. The Gift of the Elephant first appeared in print in Eureka Literary Magazine. The story received a Pushcart nomination, Best of the Small Presses. To contribute to Caritas Village, a charity devoted to creatively joining together people from many diverse backgrounds, please follow the link at can'tdonothingwithlove.wordpress.com or visit caritasvillage.org, caritasvillage.org. Message me on Facebook at Can't Do Nothing With Love. Our music, The Lights of Home, was written and sung by Mr. Rob Pate. Rock on, Rob.
Oh, he's the light of home. Thank you. Thank you very much.